Tuesday, January 14th. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Instead, someone has testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, subjecting all things under his feet." In subjecting all things to him, he left nothing not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see all things subject to him. But we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. He who for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will proclaim your name to my brethren, in the midst of the assembly I will praise you." Haydock Commentary. It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come. By the world to come is meant the Church of Christ to the end of the world, and succeeding to the state of those who serve God under the old law. The former world, under the law of Moses, might be said to be subject to angels, by whom that law was delivered. But the Church of the New Law is subject to Christ, its author and publisher. The author of the 8th Psalm says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him?" That is, man or mankind, considered in his own frail nature, corrupted by sin, guilty of eternal death, who is he that thou shouldst be mindful of him, restore him to thy favor, and bestow such graces upon him? But the words of the psalm, and of St. Paul in this place, though they may be understood of every man, yet are to be taken as particularly spoken of Christ as man, or of the human nature of Christ, exalted by the real union with the divine person of the Son of God. If the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ is spoken of in this manner, with what humility ought a sinner to say, "What is man?" You made him a little less than the angels. That is, man's nature, even the human nature of Christ in itself, is inferior to the nature of angels, though raised to a degree of dignity above other creatures. He left nothing not subject to him. He speaks here of Christ, to whom God hath made all creatures subject, whether in heaven, earth, or hell. But now we see not as yet all things subject to him, because this will only be at the end of the world. At present, the devils and the wicked make opposition against Christ and his elect. But we do see Jesus, who, as man by his sufferings and death, was made less than the angels, nay, despised as the last of men, now by his glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the submission all nations pay to him, who believe in him and worship him, crowned with glory and honor. And he submitted himself willingly to all those sufferings, even to the death of the cross, that by the grace of God he might taste death for all, or as we read in the Syriac version, for every man. Therefore not only for the elect who are saved. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader of their salvation perfect through suffering. St. Paul gives the reasons for which the Son of God would become man and suffer death, not that this was absolutely necessary, but a convenient means to manifest the goodness, the wisdom, and the justice of God by the incarnation and death of his Son. That having decreed to bring many sons or children to eternal glory, he was pleased to send his divine Son to become man, and so to consummate the author of man's salvation by suffering, that is, to make him a perfect and consummate sacrifice of expiation for the sins of all men, and to satisfy the justice of God in the most perfect manner. By suffering, Christ was to enter into his glory, which the Apostle here calls being made perfect. In this and the above verses, we may observe three different states of Jesus Christ. The first, that of his humiliation by his passion and death. The second, that of his glory at his resurrection and ascension into heaven. The third, that of his consummated glory in heaven after the last judgment. In his first state, his passion, he was made not only less than the angels, but as the last of men. In his second, all power was given to him in heaven and earth, but this power he will not fully exercise till after the general judgment, when all things without exception will be made subject to him. And this is the third state, the permanent state of his glory, which is never to end. To thy sovereign power, O divine Jesus, subject my mind, will, and heart, and make my hitherto rebellious heart in all things conformable to thy sacred and loving heart. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. That is, our Redeemer who sanctifies, and we who are sanctified, are all of one. We have the same human nature, and are from the same first parent Adam, whose son, Christ as man, was, on which account he calls men his brethren. The Gospel from Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. Haydock Commentary. It is a common opinion that the devil did not know for certain that Jesus was the true Son of God, yet St. Mark's words seem to signify he did know it, yet not, of course, with supernatural faith. Christ would not allow the devils to be produced as witnesses of his divinity. The author of truth could not bear the father of lies to bear testimony of him. Hence Jesus threatened him, in order to teach us never to believe or put our trust in demons, whatever they may foretell. It is observed by St. Justin that the discourses of Jesus were short and concise. St. John Chrysostom says that Christ here accommodated his preaching to his hearers and to his subject. The ancients differ as to the length of time employed by Christ in the ministry of the Word. It is most probable that he spent about 3 years in announcing to the world his heavenly doctrines. In the first year of his preaching, he seems not to have met with any great opposition, and on this account it may have been called by the prophet Isaiah, the acceptable year.